The following is a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZAM, Intercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
This is AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Providing opportunities to discover information to help you run your business and guide your decision-making. The more you know, the better decisions you make. AHA Business Radio is produced by Alan Hirsch Advisors. For more information, log on to ahabusinessradio.com. To join in tonight's conversation, call 410-823-1812. Now, here's your host for AHA Business Radio, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre. They are corporate attorneys at Offit Kerman, attorneys at law, and we're talking about the coronavirus this evening. Russell and Kelsey, thanks. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. I usually ask the first question, which I'll start with Russell with. What motivates you to get up in the morning and go to work?
Well, right now it's helping people. And, you know, we all have a role to play. And as Governor Hogan has, I think, said at all of his press conferences, it is really a time for everyone to unite. And, you know, I think for, I won't speak for Kelsey, but I think it probably applies to her too. For us, for those of us that are lawyers, this is the best way we can help, is to help clients, help business owners, and just get information out there, because there's, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose right now.
Well, I understand. It's coming fast and furious at everybody. So, Kelsey, same question. What motivates you to get up in the morning and go to work?
Well, I do a lot of work with small businesses in my practice, and I previously had my own firm, so I understand all of the challenges that small business owners are facing on a daily basis, and being able to help them through a crisis like this certainly is one of the more fulfilling aspects of being an attorney, especially a transactional attorney.
Okay. And how did you both get started? You, Kelsey, started in a private practice. You brought that over to Offit Kerman. And Russell?
Yeah, I got started, and you know, I come from what's now a family of lawyers, so I think it's probably in my DNA. You know, I've been in private practice my entire career. I've been at Offit Kerman for about 8.5 years now.
Okay, good. So what's the biggest concerns businesses have during this COVID-19 pandemic? We're all struggling. We're all trying to get things done. And, you know, I know it's a big question, but what's the biggest concerns businesses have during this pandemic?
I think
Ahead.
Russell, sorry.
Either way.
Well, from my perspective, and I'm a labor and employment lawyer, so business owners are calling me with employment-related questions. But from my perspective, what I see are businesses concerned about cash flow. And these are folks who have had successful businesses, businesses that work, and businesses that will probably work again in the future, but that aren't generating the same cash flow as they were before. And the scary part about this is we don't know how long this is going to last and how long it's going to take to recover. So, you know, when there's worries about revenue and cash flow coming in, there's concerns and there's strategies about what to do with the expenses going out. And unfortunately, at least from my perspective, that falls on a labor force that right now just doesn't have enough work to do, and there are enough paying customers to support them in full.
Yeah. So, Kelsey, what do you see as the biggest challenges?
Well, I see cash flow as certainly being probably the biggest challenge. But for me, my perspective is that we have the supply chain, and when you're pinched at any level of the supply chain, there are issues going up and down. So small businesses are not able to fulfill the terms of contracts that they have either with their suppliers or with whomever they're trying to distribute their product to, whether it's a service good or, you know, an actual manufactured item. So yes, employees get roped into all of this, but it ends up being a domino effect across the entire supply chain.
Well, and I understand that, but how do you know, some people out there don't understand a supply chain. So can you explain it a little bit and where some of the problems are?
Yeah. So supply chain, from a very low level understanding, is when you have a service or a product that you and your business produces. Let's say I manufacture widgets, because that's a good, you know, placeholder. You know, to manufacture widgets, I need certain things that go into my factory. So I have my suppliers and they get that product to me, and then I produce my widgets and I sell it to my customers and I get that product to them. So anywhere in that chain, if there's a disruption, it flows through to the other levels. So if my suppliers can't get goods to me, I can't produce my product to sell to my customers if they still want to buy. Or on the flip side, if I don't have customers anymore, but I've got suppliers who are supposed to be sending me product because I've got existing contracts, how am I going to negotiate my way out of that situation, because I can no longer afford to pay the person who had been supplying me? So a lot of those contracts that my small business clients have with, you know, anybody up and down the supply chain are suddenly coming into play. And the language in the back, the boilerplate language that nobody wants to look at typically when they sign a contract, is suddenly very important. So there's been a lot of discussion lately about force majeure, which is the act of God clause at the back of a contract, and whether or not this situation, the COVID-19 pandemic, is going to be a force majeure event. And it's really kind of up in the air depending on what your contract says.
Okay. So how do we, you're dealing with cash flow. How are businesses, you know, if they're not selling, if their amount of customers is declining, and they still have bills to pay, how do they pay their bills?
That's, you know, the $20 question right now, or, you know, a few million dollar question. You know, at some level, if a small business owner can't pay their bill, the first thing they should do is probably negotiate with whomever they have contracts with to see if they can get some sort of relief, if, you know, temporarily. And always get that in writing. You don't want to just have a conversation on the phone. But I do have to say the federal government and Maryland have both stepped up, and there are options now for small businesses to pursue to try to get some cash in hand immediately so they can address some of those immediate pressing concerns.
Well, some of the problems with the, and we'll talk about the CARE Act and the governor's proclamation on, and I don't know what the act was, but the Department of Commerce's program as we go forward with the conversation. But again, you know, he's instructed not to foreclosures, no kicking out because you don't pay your rent for the time being. So there's, if you have to do things, you try to negotiate. But how do they work with the, how do companies work when there's no money coming in? I mean, there's bankruptcies, but they don't mean anything because you can't get the bankruptcy court right now and it takes too long. So what are some of the simple solutions that we can come up with to help these businesses?
Well,
or aren't there any?
I think there's a combination of things, because, and if you, and to raise Kelsey's comment by a few trillion dollars, I think, you know, this is the $2 trillion question, because that's what the CARES Act, at least in part, is designed to address. So, you know, if this happens, if businesses don't have any money coming in, and given how widespread this is, the whole economy crashes and, you know, all the gears stop turning. And, you know, we've had recessions, we've had depressions before, but generally, you know, there's still some movement in the economy. This is slamming the brakes on an otherwise good economy. And so I think, you know, the government's stepping in to fill the gap and pump money into the economy. I mean, that's what the CARES Act is, a $2 trillion relief bill, and you know, some of that's loans, some of that's grants, some of that's payments directly to individuals. You know, that's a lot of money being pumped into the economy at a time where you know, we need it. On the flip side, you know, it's just like you know, there's just like an equation in you know, math class in high school where both sides of the equation have to be balanced. You know, the money's coming in can't be really all that left unless you've got cash reserves of the money as the money going out. And so, as Kelsey referenced, you know, with different types of expenses, you can either avoid them, minimize them, reduce them, eliminate them, whether that's you know, rent costs, creditors, or labor cost. And frankly, the way the whole system is now set up is the government stepping up to at least provide some backstop if an individual loses wages.
Yeah, well, I understand that, and we'll be talking about that later as we get through this whole process of the coronavirus. But I do have to take a break. I'm talking to Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre. They are corporate attorneys at Offit & Kerman, attorneys in law, and we're talking about the coronavirus. So when we come back from the break, we'll be talking to them. This is AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio 1300 AM.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500. Looking for a new website for your business? Need some help getting people on your pages? Adventure Web Interactive is your all-in-one website source. Our websites have won multiple awards and recognitions for innovation and design. Choose from services like website design, mobile app development, database integration, SEO, social media marketing, and content writing. Call Adventure Web today for a free consultation at 410-788-7007 or click on advp.com.
Strengthen, protect, and preserve your retirement nest egg. Scott Garceau here for the Stephen J. Celeste Group, Baltimore's reverse mortgage specialist. Reverse mortgages have evolved to become a viable retirement tool. Enjoy retirement without monthly mortgage payments, improve cash flow, pay off debt, and stretch retirement savings. Stephen and his team can offer strategies to make housing wealth work for you. If you're 62 or older, learn if a reverse mortgage could help. Visit reversebaltimore.com.
An equal housing opportunity lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Stephen J. Celeste, NMLS 298581. BRMI, NMLS 3094.
When Alzheimer's touches your life, turn to the Alzheimer's Association. They're here to answer your questions and offer support. Their services include free education classes, care consultations, support groups, and early stage social engagement programs. Call their 24/7 helpline day or night at 800-272-3900. That's 800-272-3900.
Hi, I'm Dave Warnick, Chief Operating Officer of CMIT Solutions, your technology team. At CMIT Solutions, we help your small or medium-sized business with your technology needs, including cybersecurity and complete managed services in real time. You can find us on the web at cmitsolutions.com or call me at 410-220-0096 to discuss what we can do for your business. At CMIT Solutions, we worry about IT so you don't have to.
At Offit Kerman, we do things differently. Clients choose us because we understand business, and we're innovative problem solvers. We are attorneys who help business owners excel in both their professional and personal lives, and in the most productive and cost-effective manner. That's what makes us the perfect legal partner for maximizing and protecting your business value and individual wealth. We are a full-service law firm. We are Offit Kerman. How can we help you?
Now, back to AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Once again, here's your host, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. In the studio with me, well, they're not in the studio, but we're doing our best here, is Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre. They're corporate attorneys with Offit Kerman. We're talking about the coronavirus. So, Russell, Kelsey, you started talking a little bit about the CARE Act and about the state's law. Let's go into the CARE Act, which actually was only passed, what, last Friday?
Mm-hmm.
With $2.2 trillion, and that's a T, not a B, trillion dollars, that's going to be available to businesses. A little bit about what it is, how what businesses qualify, and some of the major changes in it and actually in the unemployment laws that are going to take care of some of the people out there that are and companies that are involved with this coronavirus. So where do you want to begin?
Well, I think the most significant portion of the CARES Act, especially for small and medium-sized business owners, is going to be the Paycheck Protection Program, which is the first part of the law. So this is the portion of the law that provides a loan to businesses that are employing 500 or fewer employees. And the loan is based on a number of items, primarily payroll costs. So essentially what you do to determine the amount of the loan that you would be eligible for is you determine the average total monthly payments for payroll costs, which include things like salaries and benefits, and it's a technical definition of the law. But you take those payroll costs, you find the monthly average, and you multiply that by 2.5, and that's your loan amount. Or at least the amount that you're eligible for. That loan amount can then be used for a number of things. It can be used to cover your payroll costs. It can be used for payments of interest on any mortgage obligations you have, rent obligations, utilities, and interest on other debts that were incurred prior to February 15th of this year. So basically, you know, we're calculating 2 months' worth of your carrying cost for your payroll. And again, that's a term of art in the law. And then that's the amount of the loan you're eligible for. This is going to be on an SBA business loan platform. And then you're able to get that money and you can use it for a broader scope of things. However, one of the key portions of the law is that some or all of this loan is eligible for forgiveness. So, and by forgiveness, you know, it basically converts the loan into a grant. And
right.
So those kinds of things would be, that can be forgiven, are payments made during the first 8 weeks following the date the loan is made for payroll costs, mortgage interest, covered rents, and covered utilities.
Now, what if you don't have payroll expenses?
So there's a provision in the law that would expand this program to independent contractors and the self-employed. So it's a little bit broader than just payroll expenses. And so essentially, if you were a sole proprietor, you might be able to get a loan in the amount of essentially the same type of revenue, but for you individually because you don't have payroll to make.
Right. So how do they go about calculating, or is it too early to tell?
Well, so I'm going to guess that the lenders are going to be out front on figuring out how to calculate this. You know, we've certainly covered it from a legal standpoint, and it can be pretty technical. I mean, I think the simplest way is to look at your payroll runs for the last year, and essentially the simplified version of it is you look back 12 months from prior to the COVID-19 crisis in this country. You go back 12 months, you figure out what your average payroll costs are and the other things that would go into the calculation, and then you multiply, and then you figure out what the monthly average is and multiply from there.
Okay.
In addition, you could also, I think, if you have an SBA Economic Disaster Recovery Loan, that could be rolled into this. But there's a hard cap on $10 million, so you can't borrow more than $10 million to this program.
Yeah, but, I mean, for me, for example, I'm an independent contractor, and it personalized. But how do they, how are they going to calculate based on, with no payroll expenses, how do they go about calculating what the need is and the damages are?
So
there are a lot of us out there.
Well, I think that they'd probably look at your demonstrated cash operating expenses for a period of time, you know, whether it's 12 months or 3 months. I can tell you that the Maryland Small Business COVID-19 Emergency Grant Fund looks at the last 3 months, and they will give you up to $10,000, not to exceed 3 months of expenses. And they base that entirely on those cash operating expenses for the first quarter of 2020.
But in the Maryland, don't you need to have payroll? You have to have an employees.
It depends on which fund you're looking at. So it's really, it's very specific, and it's kind of on a case by case basis, which is going to be the best option for any particular.
Okay, so anybody can apply.
Yeah, so Alan, I'll answer your question with respect to the CARES Act, because while the law still does the calculation based on what it calls payroll costs, the way that's defined in the law is a little bit different for if you don't have employees. And if you don't have employees, it's defined as the compensation or income of a sole proprietor or an independent contractor that's in the nature of wage, commission, income, net earnings from self-employment. So essentially, you know, your income that's in an amount that is not more than $100,000 in 1 year as prorated. So, and that's the same way the payroll costs work for businesses with employees.
Okay.
Essentially does the calculation capped at an annualized amount of $100,000 and prorated per month.
Okay. No, because I think that's interesting to a lot of listeners, because a lot of our listeners are independent and aren't necessarily employees. I want to get to some of the employee questions now, which, you know, what's the difference between a layoff and a furlough?
So, to me, these are another set of terms, you know, terms of art. The way I would define it is a layoff means that the employment relationship is ending. So it could be a more permanent layoff, like a reduction in force where you don't intend to bring the employee back, or it could be a temporary layoff where the employment has terminated, you offboard the employee just like any other employee whose employment has ended, but with the hope, not a promise, and you don't want to get into making a promise, but the hope that the employee comes back when things start picking up again. In contrast, a furlough means that the employee is not discharged, they're not terminated, you wouldn't offboard the employee, they're still an employee, they're still eligible for whatever benefits they might be receiving from you as the employer, subject to whatever your benefit plans actually say. But those employees do not work and do not get paid. So it's like, it's a form of inactive employment where you can kind of hang around on benefits subject to your benefit plans. It can save you some trouble if, you know, you expect to bring people back in a relatively short amount of time. But you're not actually discharging. So that's the key difference between layoff and furlough.
Okay. So how does the CARE Act handle, because it adjusted some of the unemployment insurance across the country, and how does it handle that for those who are laid off or furloughed? And what are some of the new categories that they've added to the unemployment laws?
So with respect to unemployment, there isn't, for a worker, someone who's an employee who is generally eligible for unemployment benefits, there really isn't a change. Whether you're laid off or whether you're furloughed, you would still be able to apply for unemployment. Now, the benefits are greater under the CARES Act, and there's no, you know, to the extent there were waiting periods in states throughout the country, that's no longer the case. People can qualify right away. So that's one difference with respect to existing employees. One of the other things that the CARES Act does is it broadens the base. So instead of just saying, so generally speaking, Alan, you would not be eligible for unemployment because you're an independent contractor, you're sole proprietor. You're not the type of person that would be eligible for unemployment. Likewise, you know, if you've been following this in the news, they talk about gig economy workers. They're not employed by a corporation, so they're not covered.
And so,
types of individuals are now covered.
Okay. We need to go to a break. So when we come back, we can continue this conversation. And when we do come back, I'll continue the conversation with Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre, attorneys with Offit and Kerman, attorneys at law. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors, and this is AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 AM.
You should be clear of the rescue operation. It was in Howard County, westbound 100 on the ramp to 29 North. It looks like the speed there picked up. It caused a minor delay. As you travel the Beltway, no delay. Interloop traffic flows freely on the west side up top, too. No problems on the 83s. You're all good on 795 and 70. There's no difficulty at the Fort McHenry Harbor Tunnels, 95 North. It's smooth sailing from Rossvale through White Marsh to Abingdon and beyond. I'm Liz Drabik, CBS Sports Radio, 1300.
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to alanhirschadvisors.com for more information. Is your website up to the new Google standards? If it has been a while since your website has been updated, you could be missing out on valuable traffic because potential clients can't find you. At Adventure Web Interactive, our web designers can update your site by optimizing it for search engines and maximizing user experience. Contact Adventure Web today at 410-788-7007 for a free website analysis or visit us on the web at advp.com.
Join Casey Cares in celebrating 20 years at their roaring 20th anniversary gala at the American Visionary Art Museum. The Casey Cares Foundation provides ongoing and uplifting activities for critically ill children by organizing family-centric events for kids that are undergoing treatment for leukemia, severe sickle cell, cystic fibrosis, and other life-threatening illnesses. Visit CaseyCares.org or call 443-568-0064.
This event will now take place on June 27th.
When Alzheimer's touches your life, turn to the Alzheimer's Association. They're here to answer your questions and offer support. Their services include free education classes, care consultations, support groups, and early stage social engagement programs. Call their 24/7 helpline day or night at 800-272-3900. That's 800-272-3900.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500.
Baltimore, this is Will Holmes, Chairman of the Board of the Baltimore City Chamber of Commerce. We are building a community and you are invited. Join us every first Tuesday evening for our general body meeting, every second Tuesday evening for our Business After Dark networking event, and every fourth Wednesday morning for our breakfast networking and resources event. The City Chamber is here to bring business leaders like you together and make it easier for you to do business. Learn more about these events, membership opportunities, and how you can get involved in Baltimore's business community at baltimorecitychamber.org.
Now, back to AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Once again, here's your host, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre. They are corporate attorneys at Offit Kerman, attorneys at law, and we're talking about the coronavirus. And we had been talking and getting into some of the unemployment and issues within the new CARE Act. And if we can continue doing that, Russell or Kelsey, it's expanded, the CARE Act has expanded who is now covered by unemployment. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And so it will cover, what is it expanded to?
So it'll cover not just employees who have always been covered, but it'll cover gig economy workers, independent contractors, it's the self-employed, people who are seeking part-time employment. It's just broadened it to, you know, to cover as many people as possible.
So how does this work if you're a independent contractor or you're self-employed? And do you apply for a loan as a self-employed individual, or do you apply for unemployment benefits? How do you determine what to apply for, or do you apply for both?
Yeah, so I think that's going to be an individual calculus, because it's going to depend on how badly your business is hit. And, you know, if you're hit, I mean, I don't know that anyone's going to escape this unscathed, but if you're hit a little bit, you know, maybe a loan that can become a grant is a better way to go, or maybe it's a grant, you know, some other grant program that's out there. If you're knocked out entirely, then, you know, unemployment might be a better bet for you. But I think you're going to want to sit down, look at all your options, and start doing some math to figure out what's going to get you through best.
Okay. So how does one calculate what they need to do to determine? I mean, this is all new to all of us. This law came out on Friday. And we're trying to interpret it with, when there really isn't an interpretation. Some of these laws, I don't know how thick this one was, but it looked awful thick on the desk when President Trump signed it. How do you go through and interpret it 4 days later so that you can get the best benefits that are available?
Well, you read it carefully. I mean, and you trust the people whose job it is to read it carefully. So I can tell you what we're doing at our firm, because I can tell you exactly. It's 335 pages long. Over this past weekend, I at least laid eyes on all 335 of those pages. Some of them make more sense to me than others. There are a number of tax provisions and things that implicate estate planning and practice areas that I personally just don't know a whole lot about, other than to spot the issues and refer to a colleague. So, you know, what we're doing internally is we're having a number of experts from different practice areas in our firm, vet the law, pull out the different pieces that pertain to their practice areas, so that then we internally, can build a team of lawyers that can cover it from all different angles.
It's a divide and conquer strategy.
So should someone be applying for all of these benefits? Should they applying for unemployment at the same time they apply for, just take the federal government, apply for small business loan?
Well, I think it depends on, are they planning on staying in business, or are they shutting down completely? Russell mentioned, it's a personal calculus that you have to, you know, work the math out on. Is it going to be worth your time to try to stay in business at this moment? You know, can you bootstrap it for a while? Will a loan get you through a few months of, you know, economic downturn and potentially get you back up and running? Or is unemployment right now going to be a better option for you? With the understanding that there's a cap on the number of weeks that somebody can apply and receive unemployment for, which has been extended by the CARES Act.
Right. So,
and it's the same thing with so the federal government through CARES has added $600 per week to the unemployment payout, but that's for a limited period of time as well. So, unemployment, especially as modified by the CARES Act, is a stopgap. It's not a long-term solution. And to take your question even further, within the CARES Act itself, there's another provision that talks about getting a credit for maintaining payroll, and that credit's only available if you don't take a loan through the CARES Act. So, what we've been advising clients thus far is there's two different benefits in here, and the one benefit, the loan, could become a grant, and the loan could be forgiven if certain conditions are met. And we're all operating with a lot of uncertainty, so it's hard to predict exactly what's going to be the best option. But, you know, let's get out the paper and the pencil, and let's start doing the math and crunching the numbers and trying to figure out what's going to work best for you. Because as I mentioned, you know, some businesses are going to take a percentage hit. Some businesses, I'm sure that Kelsey's talked to as well as I have this week, are down to zero immediately. You know, these orders have been entirely out of business. So, so the answers are different depending on those circumstances.
Okay. So, the business owner has to decide whether he's in fact going to continue the business or discontinue when it's over, when this whole thing really just close up shop now.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. And then the design of the CARES Act is to try to bridge the gap with the expectation that, maybe in 2 months, maybe in 3 months, maybe in 4 months, but things are going to start moving again. The economy was good. It'll be good again. And if we can help businesses float through, then the entire economy, everyone in this country is better off. Because, you know, as you kind of brought up at the beginning, if nobody has any money to pay their landlords, their lenders, their mortgage companies, their creditors, their employees, then the economy just ceases to function and it doesn't work
right at
all. So the whole design here is to kind of hit the pause, like we're hitting the pause button on our behavior. I think the CARES Act is trying to hit the pause button on the economy as well and just bridge that gap.
I think it's trying to solve the problem of the pause in business, improve the cash flow of the of businesses over the next, since I guess January 31st or February, whatever date they're setting, in order to mitigate the damages that it's costing small, mid-sized businesses and large businesses across the economy. When you have airlines shutting down, hotels shutting down, you have a whole different effect on the economy.
Some of the theory behind this is that instead of these services never being needed again, they're all just kind of backing up so that, you know, in a few months when things can open up again, all of these services and these supplies and this, that, and the other will suddenly be in demand and business is going to be able to jump back in. Whether that plays out, your guess is as good as mine, but that seems to be the notion behind this. Like, we're going to shut down for a few months. This will bridge us until then, but then it's going to be booming as soon as we reopen. And it's not just America. It's a global approach.
I know.
We'll see.
We will see if this really helps, if this gets us through. But the hardest part is it really going to help businesses cash flow? Is it soon enough? Is it out there soon enough so that it can get to the economy quick enough? We've already been in this shutdown since, I guess, mid-March. It's been 3 weeks. And how do we, get these benefits in another, if it doesn't come for another 21, 30 days, how does that impact the economy?
Right. And to that point, I mean, how does it affect your business if you're a business owner? And I think it really puts a premium on businesses that, and individuals for that matter, that have cash reserves that are prepared for these types of bad situations, maybe not this extreme, but are prepared for downturns, and that take proactive steps to manage the cash flow situation and look at the financial projections and make estimates about what cash flow is going to look like over not just the next month or two, but the next 6 months, and take steps to prepare for that. And obviously, the most optimistic step you can take is getting money in.
Right.
You know, cutting the cost is, no one really wants to do that. Everyone feels horrible when it has to happen. It, you know, being an employment lawyer and having those types of conversations over the last couple of weeks, I'd much rather be talking to people about hiring and the issues that go along with that. But, it's what companies are going to have to do in a lot of circumstances in order to survive and to continue to remain viable, so that 6 months from now, or however long it takes, where we're moving again, businesses are there, the jobs are there, and as Kelsey referenced earlier, the supply chain is flowing.
Okay. Well, thank you. We need to go to a break again. And when we come back, I'll be talking again with Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre, attorneys at Offit Kerman, attorneys at law. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors, and this is AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 AM.
In the digital world, first impressions are everything. If your site is slow or outdated, you could be missing out on valuable business. The team at Adventure Web Interactive is ready to help you bring your website up to date so that you can reach new audiences and convert more leads. Contact Adventure Web today at 410-788-7007 for a free website analysis, or visit them on the web at advp.com.
Join Casey Cares in celebrating 20 years at their roaring 20th anniversary gala at the American Visionary Art Museum. The Casey Cares Foundation provides ongoing and uplifting activities for critically ill children by organizing family-centric events for kids that are undergoing treatment for leukemia, severe sickle cell, cystic fibrosis, and other life-threatening illnesses. Visit CaseyCares.org or call 443-568-0064.
This event will now take place on June 27th.
The Maryland Small Business Awards are ready for this year's Big Chamber Contest. During the month of March, votes are placed for all Maryland-based chambers, and the top three winners are recognized during the June 4th event. Small business runs Maryland, and we want to acknowledge the advocates who work alongside them. Vote at mdsbwawards.org. The Maryland Small Business Awards, a winning tradition for over 35 years. Special thanks to Baltimore County Census Bureau.
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to alanhirschadvisors.com for more information.
The Maryland Construction Network is an innovative construction association representing the entire construction community. With premier networking events, relevant educational programs, and unique and creative ways to market and promote your business. The question is, why not the Maryland Construction Network? It's affordable and it's effective. As a business coach, I recommend that you check it out for yourself. Visit mdconstructionnet.net to learn more. That's mdconstructionnet.net.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500.
Now, back to AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Once again, here's your host, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. On the phone with me is Russell Berger and Kelsey Longacre of Offit Kerman. And we're talking about the coronavirus and its impact on business in this country. One thing we have not talked about, which we really should, it's only $1 trillion, is the Family First coronavirus response which was passed a couple weeks ago by Congress. We've spent so much time on the CARE Act. So why don't you talk about that a little bit, Russell?
Yeah, so briefly, this is the law. It provides for emergency paid sick leave for a number of reasons, some of which have to do with being exposed to the coronavirus or when people are ordered to self-quarantine. It also covers people who are unable to work because of childcare. The Families First Act also provides for emergency family and medical leave expansion. So the FMLA is a law people might be familiar with. That's been expanded to include childcare for COVID-19 related reasons. So this is a paid sick leave, paid family leave benefit. The employer pays the money. The government will credit it in full as long as you follow the procedures and the caps that are set forth in the law.
Okay. And Kelsey, you were going to say something?
Oh, well, I think that one of the things that we haven't covered yet is Maryland specific, because yes, we've got all these federal government provisions that are out there and floating around, but Maryland's been very proactive. There's the grant that I mentioned earlier. There's also the Maryland Small Business COVID-19 Emergency Relief Loan Fund, which is a loan that has a year of no interest and no principal payments, and then a 36-month term. And then there's also a COVID-19 Emergency Relief Manufacturing Fund, which provides a $5 million incentive for Maryland manufacturing companies to produce personal protective equipment. So the masks and the gowns and the things that hospitals really need to be able to get us through the on-the-ground care of, you know, addressing the coronavirus.
So there's a lot of state action as well.
Yes, there's a lot of state action as well. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention yesterday, you know, the governor issued a stay-at-home order, and a lot of businesses are questioning, are we essential? You know, this is part of the development of the past few orders. And trying to figure out, do you fit within those categories can be very confusing. And I've seen some businesses try to force themselves into categories are like, oh, well, we'll just redefine what we're doing so that we're no longer open to the public, but we are, you know, under this other category. And my question for them is it going to be worth it to you to face a fine or jail time if, you know, you really don't truly meet that, you know, newly defined category that you're trying to shoehorn your business into?
Okay, so One of the other things that we haven't addressed is what is the impact if you have an insurance policy that does talk about discontinued or interruption, business interruption insurance, I guess is the best way to put it. How is that going to be implemented? Is this one of those kinds of cases where the insurance companies are going to be held to task?
Potentially. I think that is one of the things that we're all trying to wade through. I've had the privilege of being on a couple of webinars with people from Arthur Kerman's insurance recovery group, and they just work with policyholders to try to get them over some of those hurdles. You know, whether the pandemic is going to be something that is a act of God within those policies language, which would let them pay out, is a question right now. We're also looking at, if you're just slowed down instead of being completely shut down, do you have any rights to claim under those policies? You know, I think a lot of small businesses just get an insurance policy without understanding what actually is a event that's going to trigger their ability to make a claim. And, you know, business interruption insurance is not one of those things that a lot of people purchase, and they're finding out, you know, too late that this is not going to be a recoverable event for them. So it gives good instruction for planning for the future and, you know, the things that small businesses think about moving forward, so that they can better address their needs after this and in anticipation of the potential, you know, next situation.
So what talking about moving forward, we've talked about this whole coronavirus and how it can affect businesses and what they can do to apply for the state and federal money that's available. But what should, while we're all slowed down, what should some businesses be doing to look forward to the time when we're ready to come out of this to relaunch? Is there something they should be doing?
Well, I mean, you just mentioning having some downtime or having some slow time kind of triggered something that I think is a pretty common phrase in law firms, which is there is no downtime, there's billable time, and there's marketing time. Mm-hmm. So if you're not able to do the equivalent of billable work, whatever profession, whatever business you're in, there's planning work. A lot of that can be devoted to finding cash sources right now so that you're ready to hit the ground running. And then I also think it has to do with planning so that you're ready to, so that when things do get better, you're ready to go and you have a plan and you've thought it through and you have your funding lined up to implement. And, you know, sometimes it has to do with cash. Sometimes it has to do with having the right employees positioned, ready to go. It's just being thoughtful. And if you're able to, still be productive right now, I think it's finding ways to weather the storm. And with the expectation that, you know, I don't want to be callous and suggest that this could be a good thing for anybody because, you know, it's a horrible pandemic we're dealing with. But it presents opportunity for businesses that can rise to these challenges we've been talking about.
Yeah. And those businesses out there that have been looking at marketing plans to change your marketing. I mean, one of the things that I know, I talked to one business today that they should be changing what they're doing in their marketing because marketing starts with why you do what you do. And it's a good time because businesses aren't looking at websites and looking at your marketing plan. It's a good time to rethink the strategies of where your sales are coming from, retargeting. So when you're ready to launch again, you can go out there and be proactive and source and find new sources that you're ready to work with. It's a strategic plan that you can work on with your free time over the next several months.
And I think it also gives businesses the opportunity to look at their operations and how they can be efficient in ways that they hadn't thought they could be before. Now that everyone's working from home, how can we, you know, cut costs in other areas that might allow us to have employees who are used to working from home now and enjoy it? Or look at your contracts and see where you've got bottlenecks within the supply chain again. You know, if you've got an exclusive contract with someone who isn't going to be able to provide your product, well, we shouldn't have done that now. In the future, let's make sure we don't have that exclusivity clause, or we make sure that we're sourcing from different parts of the world if we're, you know, on a global basis, so that way if one source is shut down, we can still get product from another source.
Well, we do have to wind up the show, unfortunately. This has been a very enlightening show for me. So I want to thank Russell and Kelsey for being my guests. How can the listeners reach you?
So our firm's website is www.offitkerman.com. We have a COVID-19 related resource page. You know, the lawyers in our firm are creating a ton of content, a ton of material that can be helpful to business owners. The website for that is offitkerman.com/resources/COVID-19. And if anyone needs to reach out to me directly, my bio is on the website. My email is rberger@offitkerman.com. And my phone number is 410-209-6449.
And Kelsey?
And my bio is also on the website. My email is klongacre@offitkerman.com, and that's klongacre@offitkerman.com. And my direct line is 301-575-0325.
Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show. I want to thank you, Tim, for producing. Please join me next Tuesday at 6 p.m., where I'll be talking business with Craig Call, President and CEO of Adventure Web Interactive. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors, your host. To reach me, call 443-977-4500 or visit my website, www.alanhirschadvisors. You can also listen to podcasts of past shows at www.ahabusinessradio.com. This has been AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 AM.
The Maryland Small Business Awards are ready for this year's Big Chamber Contest. During the month of March, votes are placed for all Maryland-based chambers, and the top three winners are recognized during the June 4th event. Small business runs Maryland, and we want to acknowledge the advocates who work alongside them. Vote at mdsbwawards.org. The Maryland Small Business Awards, a winning tradition for over 35 years. Special thanks to Baltimore County Census Bureau.
Baltimore, this is Will Holmes, Chairman of the Board of the Baltimore City Chamber of Commerce. We are building a community and you are invited. Join us every first Tuesday evening for our general body meeting, every second Tuesday evening for our Business After Dark networking event, and every fourth Wednesday morning for our breakfast networking and resources event. The City Chamber is here to bring business leaders like you together and make it easier for you to do business. Learn more about these events, membership opportunities, and how you can get involved in Baltimore's business community at baltimorecitychamber.org.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I trust my digital marketing to the experts at Adventure Web Interactive. They have grown my Twitter following by 400%, increased my web views by 200%, and helped me reach new audiences. From content creation to social media management, Adventure Web has been an invaluable partner in helping me maximize my online presence. Contact them today at 410-788-7007 or visit them on the web at advp.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Wernick, Chief Operating Officer of CMIT Solutions, your technology team. At CMIT Solutions, we help your small or medium-sized business with your technology needs, including cybersecurity and complete managed services in real time. You can find us on the web at cmitsolutions.com or call me at 410-220-0096 to discuss what we can do for your business. At CMIT Solutions, we worry about IT so you don't have to.
At Offit Kerman, we do things differently. Clients choose us because we understand business, and we're innovative problem solvers. We are attorneys who help business owners excel in both their professional and personal lives, and in the most productive and cost-effective manner. That's what makes us the perfect legal partner for maximizing and protecting your business value and individual wealth. We are a full-service law firm. We are Offit Kerman. How can we help you?
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to alanhirschadvisors.com for more information.
Strengthen, protect, and preserve your retirement nest egg. Scott Garceau here for the Stephen J. Schles Group, Baltimore's reverse mortgage specialist. Reverse mortgages have evolved to become a viable retirement tool. Enjoy retirement without monthly mortgage payments, improve cash flow, pay off debt, and stretch retirement savings. Stephen and his team can offer strategies to make housing wealth work for you. If you're 62 or older, learn if a reverse mortgage could help. Visit reversebaltimore.com.
An equal housing opportunity lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Stephen J. Schles, NMLS 298581. BRMY, NMLS 3094.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500.
The preceding was a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZAM, Intercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
CBS Sports Radio 1300 is WJZAM Baltimore, WJZFM HD3 Cajunsville, Baltimore. Your home for Towson University sports and live sports talk around the clock.